up wild and he don't do what you want him to. Love ain't nobody's angel child and he won't pay any mind to you. One man gives me his diamond stud and I won't give him a cigarette. One man treats me like I was mud and all I got that man can get.
Hello and welcome to Sister Act. This is a podcast where two sisters talk about movie musicals. I am one of those sisters. My name is Jackie.
I am the other one. My name is Nicola.
And today we're talking about the 1954, is that true? 1954 classic Carmen Jones, starring Dorothy Dandridge, who was the first Black woman nominated for Best Lead Actress in this, for her performance in this movie.
Wow, I didn't know
that. By the Academy Awards. Yeah, that's the piece of history that this movie carries.
Cool.
And it's one of the, it's the first, like, Technicolor all-Black, obviously we've watched Shuffle Along, so it's not the first, like,
no, we
majority
have,
Black
that
cast.
That was Stormy Weather that we watched.
I'm sorry, we have not watched Shuffle Along. Obviously we have not watched Shuffle Along,
is
but we
Shuffle
have watched
Shuffle Along a movie?
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, maybe we'll watch that someday. We haven't watched it yet. We watched Stormy Weather. Which I think actually is the first Black musical, movie musical, but this one's Technicolor and it's Academy Award nominated. But for me, a potent reminder of the fact that I don't really care that much about operas.
I read your Letterboxd review. I haven't written one because I didn't watch this movie until the middle of the night last night. But I was confused by your thing about Sondheim and Hammerstein.
Sondheim wrote two books that were just like his little thoughts on lyrics and sort of like his process of writing all the lyrics from the first half of the one that I have is Finishing the Hat, and then the second one is Look, I Made a Hat, and I have Finishing the Hat, which is like he just presents the lyrics from his work and then like provides some commentary on them. And in the beginning of the book, he's talking about like he has this thing where like Oscar Hammerstein was like his second father. He had like a weird relationship with his actual father, but Oscar Hammerstein lived like, you know, they had like connected backyards or whatever, and he would go over to Oscar Hammerstein's house, and Oscar Hammerstein like taught him introduced him to the world of writing musical theater and helped him write his first musical and gave him little homework assignments. He was like, adapt a play that you think is good, then adapt a play you think is bad, then adapt something that's not a play, then you're ready to write a musical. And
wow. I didn't know they had a relationship at all.
Yeah, they had a very interesting relationship, but in the book, I mean, and I guess probably in life too, I haven't really heard Stephen Sondheim be interviewed about his relationship with Oscar Hammerstein, but he's very like forthright about the fact that he doesn't think Oscar Hammerstein was that good at writing lyrics. Like, I think he says at one point, like, Oscar Hammerstein was a great man and a bad lyricist, and Richard Rodgers was a terrible man and a great songwriter or something.
Wow. I really know nothing about Rodgers and Hammerstein. I wasn't even sure which one was the lyricist and which was the composer until
I didn't
now.
Really know anything about them until I learned that Oscar Hammerstein was the one who taught Stephen Sondheim stuff. And I confuse those two men in my mind a lot, but that is a detail that makes it easier to keep them apart. But anyway, this music is obviously adapted from the Carmen opera, so there is no music writer for this. It's just like mm-hmm. a Hammerstein solo project. So that's why in my Letterboxd review, to give anyone listening to this conversation context, I said that like I didn't like the decision to write some of, especially the Cindy Lou character's lyrics in dialect, and hope that that's part of the reason that Stephen Sondheim didn't think Oscar Hammerstein was a good lyricist.
Yeah. So, okay, that makes more sense. It seemed to me like you were saying that Stephen Sondheim was also not a good lyricist, which I would disagree with, because I think, if anything, he's
No, yes, I know that your opinion is that he's a great lyricist and a mediocre music
Although
writer.
Although I'm coming around on him as a music writer. Yeah.
I think it's part of the reason Stephen Sondheim in Finishing the Hat is like, Oscar Hammerstein was a great man and my second father and a shit lyricist. He taught me everything he knew. No, yes, because part of the framing, I'm not saying he taught me everything he knew and that's why I'm bad. It's like, he wasn't like, his attitude in Finishing the Hat is not like, this man taught me everything I know. It's like, this man taught me everything he was capable of teaching me. And then I progressed far beyond the student became the teacher. And then he was incapable of being taught, you know, like he was just older and stuck in his ways. He couldn't elevate the form in the way that I have.
But he taught me everything he knew. To publicly say about a man who is like your second father and also a famous...
I know, it's very interesting.
Okay, well, that makes sense then. Thank you for explaining this interesting fact to me. I really am going to admit something, that I didn't know anything about this movie. I had no idea it had any connection to Carmen, the musical. I mean, the opera. And I didn't know that it was going to be just literally... Carmen the opera, but with a book and changing the lyrics.
So I had the opposite experience, which is I knew it was an adaptation of Carmen, but I didn't know anything about Carmen, and I didn't realize that it didn't have any original music. And it just was, to me, like, my experience was like, I don't really care about operas. Like there are just like structures that are present in musical theater music that I love and find familiar and I think like support interesting storytelling. And I'm not as familiar with the structures of opera, and what I know of it does not like tickle the same pleasure center for me. Like,
it immediately made me less excited about the movie once I heard the music of Carmen. Although I do think Carmen is a great opera. I did see it in high school when we would do those trips to the Met dress rehearsals.
That is very cool. I never saw like an interesting music. I saw like one about all these nuns killing themselves.
I saw La Bohème, L'Elixir d'Amour, which was not very good. And then Carmen.
Those are two classics. I saw... The Macropolis Case and the dialogue of the Carmelite, like the one about the nuns, the Carmelite nuns. And I didn't know what was happening. But I think it would have helped me if I was familiar with the opera Carmen, because I was just like, when plot things were happening, I was just like, what the hell is going on in these people's minds? Yeah. Like, people just make crazy decisions.
The plot of Carmen. And really, the only reason that so much... I mean, I would say Carmen is probably the most famous opera music and, like, the most recognizable by the general public. Mm-hmm. But I also hear it a lot because it's, like, a classic figure skating music. But I'm always like, what happened in Carmen again? I totally forget. But I was kind of remembering the production I saw as this movie was going along. Like, I think if you were to do this concept of just, like, turning an opera into a musical, Carmen is the best one to do it with. I think the music is all really good. But I don't know why you would do this.
Should we describe... Yeah. What happens? The thing that I said in my Letterboxd review was also, I mean, it was really only like three sentences. So we'll have hit every piece of it. But I was immediately struck at the beginning by like, this movie just like starts. I was like, I need like some sort of song where everyone's like, this is where we are and this is our worldview. And then someone says, but I feel a slightly different way. And that's going to motivate me to do something different. Like, I needed... an introduction to the world of this, and instead it's just like you get a little bit of like a familiar melody as people are marching and you're like, oh, we're on a military base, and then like we're just in it. There's just like
I was really nervous at first that I was gonna have no idea what was going on the entire time, but then as it went on I got my bearings. But I'm honestly, I'm looking at the song list and I'm like, I don't remember how this movie started.
you're just like on the military base, I'm pretty sure. And then you're inside. She's trying to get in, and they're like, you can't come
Yeah,
in. And
Cindy
she's like,
Lou is
yeah. Oh,
trying to
yes.
get
Cindy
in.
Lou is the girlfriend of Harry Belafonte, whose name is Joe.
Which I feel foolish for not suspecting that they were both being dubbed. But I was like, I cannot believe that Harry Belafonte has this great operatic singing voice. But he
I actually didn't
doesn't.
realize that either. Until I was reading stuff about it afterwards. I was like, "Oh, interesting." Because Dorothy Dandridge, I would believe could sing like that.
Yeah, me too. But
And
she
Harry
also
Belafonte,
wasn't singing.
you know, it's not like he's someone with like a like he has a smooth timbre to his voice. Like it obviously, I wasn't like, "Wow, this is what all Harry Belafonte music must sound like." But I did feel like, yeah, this could be like something he's a sound he's capable of producing. But he's not. I mean, maybe he
Yeah.
is, but he didn't in this case.
So anyway, Cindy Lou, she, I don't, oh, she doesn't get in. She meets him like by a fence.
Yeah, they're like, to get in, she needs some sort of security clearance from some guy who's like not even there. So they're like, so they talk through a fence and then they go to this like dining hall where you're allowed to see your people.
Yeah.
And they, I think then in, do we first, then we meet Carmen and then we see them in the dining hall? Okay.
But the song list is not helping me. Dat Love. Oh, that's the same as You Go For Me. That's a classic song. Da 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 da. And she's just saying like, if I like you, you're done. I'm gonna ruin your life.
And that's so true.
And I'm so confused by like what she was doing there.
I
She
was also like,
works
where
there.
even
Where
are
are
we?
they?
It was like a text, there was like a bunch of like textiles hanging around. I was like, is this like a
Yeah, when I
dressmaking
read the
shop?
Wikipedia page, because I was also, when he was in jail, I was like, what just happened? How is he in jail? And the Wikipedia said she works at a parachute factory. And I was like, why are they at a parachute factory? I thought they were on a military. I guess they make parachutes for the
She's for the
military.
military. I didn't realize that. That makes sense that she's working at a. I think they say something about a parachute factory at one point too, and I was like, that must be some weird innuendo, but that's literally where they worked. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So
So
yeah,
they're
there's a
at the
bunch of
parachute
textiles around
factory
that will
eating
eventually become a
lunch.
parachute.
And she's
And she
singing this
says.
song, and everyone's like, oh, Carmen, you're crazy.
And then we see like Joe and his girlfriend, or maybe then we see Joe and his girlfriend. They decide they're going to get married because they both really like each other. They're just very like sweet
Yeah, they
people.
sing a song called You Talk Just Like My Ma. And he's like, I could never love anyone else other than you because you remind me so much of my mom. And she's like, aw.
And then Carmen just gets in a random fight with some other lady. They're like pulling each
Yeah,
other's
also on
hair.
the Wikipedia it said this. I was like, there's no way they ever said that in the movie. That woman was trying to get Carmen in trouble for arriving to work late. So that's why she was fighting her. I was like, guys, there wasn't any context for the fight in the movie, I
They
swear.
are like explaining about it is it's so disorienting. Like it's truly just like I just needed some slower, I needed some songs that were just like absorb a bunch of details about where we are because there's just a lot of information exchanged in dialogue that like I have no context for, so I didn't really understand it because
Yeah.
what happens is she like drops a net on this woman and then they're like you're going to jail because you can't use that net and then that's I think what she says like but she was trying to get me in trouble for being late or whatever and then they're like no you gotta go to jail for tampering with military property
Everything about the military police, I feel like, must be made up. Is that a thing? military police, military jail. Like,
yeah, that is a thing.
I didn't know anything about this.
I don't know anything about military police, but military jail is a thing.
So, they're like, okay, well, you're arrested. And then, or Joe is the one trying to arrest her. And then they're like, no, well, you're not the military police. You gotta take her to the military police. You can't arrest her.
Because I think he's not even there. He's just, like, talking to Cindy Lou. And then they're like, Joe, you have to take her to jail. And she's like, he's like, I don't want to do that. And they're like, that's an order. Like, he, because he's like, oh, I was literally just about to get married. And they were like, well, you'll have to do it after you take her to military jail.
Also, he's about to go to flying school, which I don't know what that's about either. Is he in the Air Force? And he wants to become a pilot?
Yes, yeah, he's going to be trained to be a pilot, a military pilot.
But now he's got to go 50 miles away to take Carmen to military jail.
Yes.
He doesn't want to do it, but his commanding officer makes him, and then his commanding officer tells Cindy Lou, oh, he volunteered, I guess he doesn't like you. And she's like, what? No, he loves me.
Which makes you think, like, oh, this movie is going to be people trying to tear this couple apart by, like, lying to them or meddling, but they love each other, and they're gonna, either they will not or they will discover the truth about each other's love. Like they'll be made to question their love, but then they'll discover that it's true. But that's not what this movie is about.
Yeah.
But then Joe is driving her to jail, and she's, like, being all flirty and trying to, like, she's just coming on to Joe through this song. She's, like, tickling him and sitting in the back and then sitting in the front and putting her head on him. And he's like, leave me alone. I'm just taking you to jail. And then she, like, they stop for a train to pass. And she just gets out of the car. She gets on the train. And then there's this lengthy, silent sequence. Like, there's ambient noise, but there's no dialogue at all. Where he just, like, she gets out of the car and gets on the train. He gets out of the car and chases her on the train. She jumps off the train. He jumps off the train. She's running through these rocks. He eventually catches her. He ties her up with a handkerchief and his belt. And then he puts her over his shoulder and he walks back to the car. And not a single word is said for like 3 minutes while this happens.
And then they're driving, and he's like, ugh, this is taking so long. I really want to go home. Let me take this shortcut. And then they immediately drive into a river, and the car gets stuck. And she's like, well, I live right around here, so just come home with me. And then we can get a train to the military police later. But the train's not until the morning, so you're going to have to stay in my house. But she doesn't tell him that until they're there. And then they meet some of her friends there. And then
we meet her superstitious old grandma or aunt. And Joe is just, like, annoyed that he doesn't really trust her. He finds her annoying. She's like, oh, I'm going to make you a nice dinner. And he's like, I don't need that. And then she's like, here's my superstitious grandma. I'm also superstitious. And he's like, no, you don't believe that stuff. Like, he's judgmental of her belief system. And then she kisses him.
Well, no, not quite. So she's, like, doing her really touchy thing. She's polishing his shoes and getting all in his personal space, and then he starts to kind of like it, and he's like, oh, you're gonna be like this wife and mother. And she's like, no, I'm not having kids. And he's like, yes you are. And then she's like fixing his belt, and then there's something with a flower, and then he kisses her, and then she's like, all right, let's do this. And then they have sex, although we don't see it.
You're right. I misdescribed it because it's even crazier than what I described. It's that he is so resistant to her up until 30 yes. seconds before he kisses
literally,
her.
Literally, his whole character just changes at this random point in the movie. And he decides to have sex with her after 5 seconds ago being so annoyed with her. And now he loves her. And she leaves in the night and leaves a note that says, sorry, I'm gonna die if I go to military jail. But please don't hate me because I love you so much, baby. And he's like, ah, damn. And then next scene, he's in jail.
Because he failed. He was given an order to bring her to jail. He failed to do that, so now he's in jail.
And Cindy Lou comes to see him. And she's like...
And Cindy Lou is like, hey, it's okay. My mom's going to send you something nice. I'm so sorry this happened to you. Also, I know that something happened between you and Carmen, but I assume it's in the past and it doesn't affect our relationship. Like, she's just here for him. But then he gets a package, and the package is a rose from Carmen. And he's like, yeah, I love this. I'm going to put this in my pocket and keep it forever. And Cindy Lou is like, okay, I guess we're done. That's really hurtful.
Yeah, well, he doesn't see what it is until she's like, oh, you got a package. It must be from my mom. Let me open it. And then she just looks at it and then, like, glares at him and gets up and leaves. And then he's like, oh, it's a flower from Carmen. I'm going to keep this. And then he goes outside. I'm like, you're allowed to just be by this lake in jail?
He's like doing work. He's like in some work camp situation in military prison.
And he sings this flower. And he's just like, I love Carmen so much. I'm like, you do? And then we
so go. Then we go back to Carmen. And Carmen is with Pearl Bailey at this, like, I don't know, house of ill repute. I don't really know what this place is. There's a bunch of pretty ladies and a bunch of military men.
Are they still in her hometown? Or where did she even go?
I think that they're back by they're by the military prison, obviously, like, or the military jail. So they're not in her hometown. Was like a train ride away. I think that she's just back to like working around military bases.
Okay. And they sing.
But I couldn't tell you what this place is.
Beat out that rhythm on a drum. Beat out that rhythm on a drum. It's fun. And they're just like, I love to dance and listen to music in this club. And then Husky Miller. Oh, and they're also like, Carmen, why are you so sad? She's like, because I love Joe and he's in jail. But I'm going to wait for him every night until he comes back to see me, because I know he will. And then Husky Miller is like,
he's a boxer.
Yeah, he's a prize fighter. And he sings another classic song that's like, I don't remember the words, but stand up and fight. Da 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 da.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh my god, Husky Miller, you're so cool. And he sees Carmen, and it's kind of like the same thing how Carmen likes Joe because he's the only guy that's not really interested in her. He's like, who's that girl who didn't give a shit when I came in? She's the one that I need. So he tells his manager, I'll get on
his
the
manager
train.
And his manager has like his own his manager. Manager, like there's two manager. Men like,
so he's like, oh, who's that heat wave talking about Carmen? And his manager's like, don't worry about it. You got to get on that train for Chicago for your fight. And he's like, I'll get on the train, but she better be on it with me or you're fired. So he leaves, and then the manager's like, all right, we got to get Carmen to come to Chicago with us.
So they're pitching Pearl Bailey, and Diane Carroll is also there, and Carmen on, like, oh, come
well,
and
first
be
they
the...
just pitch, or I don't know, maybe you're right.
No, I'm probably wrong. First they just pitch Carmen?
No. They just pitch the two other women, and they're like, oh, we'll get you Jules and Mink, but... you can only come if your friend Carmen comes. And then all four of them go and try to convince Carmen. And she's like, you'll laugh, or don't laugh when I tell you why. And they're like, we won't laugh. And she's like, there's a guy I'm crazy about. And they all start cracking up. And they're like, that's crazy. And she's like, I know, but I just really love him. I have to wait for him.
And then they just go without her.
Like, well, they even sing though they a whole like, song, whizzing away along the track, trying to convince her to come. And she's like, kind of, she keeps being like, ooh, that sounds fun, diamonds. But then she's like, no, I can't. So then they're like, all right, guess we're leaving without you. And then,
and they get in their car, and just as they pull away, Joe pulls in. And Carmen's like, oh, phew, thank God I didn't leave. Thank God I'm not whizzing away along the track.
And
Joe is like, I'm out of jail, and I'm going to pilot school still. And she's like, that's great. And he's like, do you want to come to flight school with me? And she's like, how dare you ask me to physically relocate? I would never. She like asks something unreasonable of him, and then they're like, well, I guess we gotta break up. I'm like, okay, I guess you do.
Yeah, I can't really remember. I think she didn't want him to go to flying school, and she wants him to stay with her, and then he's like asking her to... oh, he's like, all right, well, then we can do long distance. And she's like, hell no.
Yes, okay.
And then his commanding officer comes and is like, you're stupid, Joe. Carmen, come with me. And she's like, all right, I'm over you, Joe. And then he's like, don't you touch her. And he's like, or what? And then he just like punches him, and they get in this whole crazy fight. And
first
then,
he almost doesn't do it. He, you know, he's like, I can't get a demerit. I gotta go to flight school. And the guy even says, like, yeah, if you hit me, that's 4 years in military jail. But then he just can't control himself, and they have a physical fight, and he hides the injured body of the commanding officer in a bush. Yeah.
And she's like, we gotta get on a train. Oh, because she is like, I'm happy you're back. I think she's kind of thinking that she still wants to go with them and get diamonds and stuff. So she's like, I have a train ticket. I prepared it for the two of us whenever you got back. So let's go to Chicago for a little trip to celebrate. And he's like, what? I can't go to Chicago. I have to go to flying school. And she's like, what? Come to Chicago with me. So then she's like, hide the body. You can't go back to jail. Let's get on this train to Chicago right now. And they do. And then they're in Chicago. And he's cooped up because the military police are everywhere and they're all looking for him. So he can't leave their apartment or he'll get arrested.
And they're also out of money, but she has personal money. And he's like, baby, I could never have you spend your personal money on groceries. And she's like, no, we're in this together. It's fine. She's kind of like loving with him.
Mm-hmm. But really, she doesn't have that much money. So she goes to Frankie, her friend, who's with Husky Miller and the gang.
Yeah, that's Pearl Bailey is Frankie.
And she's like, can I have a loan? And Frankie's like, who do you think I am? You gotta go. The guy who's gonna give you a loan is Husky Miller.
And Husky Miller has stopped giving them stuff because he's like, where is the lady I actually wanted. I don't care about these two floozies. And the managers are like, yeah, if you stay, we can give you so much. But then she goes and talks to Husky, and she's like, Husky, can I have a loan? And Husky's like, I'll give you whatever you want if you just come sit in my corner during the game. And she's like, no, you don't understand. I just want a little bit of cold hard cash right now. And then she does get, like, what happens there? Because she goes grocery shopping and comes back with a bunch of stuff. And she Joe is like, agrees, oh, how did you afford all this? And he gives her a loan in exchange for the agreement. Okay.
So then when she comes back, she's, like, immediately starts getting ready to go out again, I think. And he's like, what? She's like, I am tired of being cooped up in here. I just want to go out with my friends.
But I feel like there's actually something... like it's a little weirder than that, because she comes in and she's like, oh, here's food, and he's like, oh, where'd you get money? And she's like, she's just being like weirdly,
she's like, don't worry about it.
And isn't acting like she's gonna go out until he starts being kind of it, like he's kind of needling her. He's like, wait, I'm a little worried, tell me, where's it from, come on, tell me.
And then he grabs her, and then she's kind of like over it, like she's done with the relationship once he gets physical with her.
Yeah, so then she's
then
like, okay.
She gets ready to go out again. And he's like...
But she's still being weirdly coy. She's still like, yeah. I won't tell you where I'm going. And it's like making him crazy.
Yeah, and he's like, you have to tell me. I own you. And she's like, all right, fine. You're stuck here, but I'm not. And I gotta get out. So I'm leaving, and I'll see you later. And he's like, will you be back? And she says something like, I don't know, it's really sassy, but I can't remember. I'll put a bell on the door, boy, or something. And then she goes out with Husky and... Or she goes to his fight, I think. No? I don't know.
Then I think we see Cindy Lou, right?
Yeah. She sings two songs in a row. The first one, I think she's just walking around Chicago.
Yeah, she's just walking the streets of Chicago thinking about how she still likes Joe. And then she finds... Oh, no, you're right. I'm wrong. We stay with Carmen, right? And Carmen goes out with her friends. And then she does, like, a tarot reading and is like, oh... Either me or Joe is going to die. I'm actually not sure which one. And she sings a song that's like, well, I'm gonna leave him, that like, if it's, I'm gonna live my life till the last moment, I'm not gonna be with someone who's gonna die. or I'm not gonna, whatever, for some reason
I was really confused. I kind of zoned out during this song, and then it became really intense all of a sudden, and I was like, what just happened? But ultimately she's deciding that she's done with Joe. But she's not going back to tell him. She's just cutting off all ties. Which,
and then
you know, she's always been very clear that she's never going to be tied down in any way. So he had it coming.
And, yeah. Right.
Then it's, the military kind of in character. Police show up at their apartment building, and he sneaks out the fire escape.
But first, I think we see Cindy Lou's walking the streets. She sings that she just still loves Joe. Joe escapes from the military police and he's walking around. Cindy Lou goes to see Carmen and is like, Carmen, where's Joe? I just got to see him. And then Joe, like, comes in the door.
Oh,
having
yeah, and
escaped.
She's kissing Husky as he comes in. And then he's like, you two-timing tramp. And Husky's
but
like...
But first he opens the door, he sees Cindy, and Cindy's like, Joe?
And oh,
Joe
yeah, and he's like, get out of here, I don't like...
But he doesn't even say anything to her at first. He, like, fully doesn't acknowledge her and is just, like, getting involved in this. And then Cindy's like, wait, don't punch this random guy. Like, she's trying to talk him down, and that's when he's like, you shut up and get out of here, I don't care about you at
all. Because Cindy Lou is like, Joe, this isn't you. You don't just punch guys. He's like... It's me now. Ever since I kissed Carmen, this is who I am. Get out.
He takes out, like, a knife. He's, like, gonna knife fight Husky Miller. And Cindy Lou is very reasonably trying to talk him out of it. And he's like, your words mean nothing to me.
And then the military police show up at Husky's fight. I think Husky had won a fight right before this scene. And they're all, like, in his dressing room or whatever. And the military police show up and Carmen, like, gets him out. And he's like, why are you doing this? You love me? And she's like, no, I don't care about you, but I'm not going to let anyone be cooped up, not just me.
She's anti-cooping.
So he runs away. The military police follow him.
And, but they can't catch him. Then he's skulking around the vent. Then Cindy sings another song that's like, isn't that crazy that he was just so mean to me, but I still kind of love him?
Yeah.
The plight of being a woman, am I right? And that's the last receiver.
Yeah. And then I can't remember how they even cross paths again. Carmen kind of shakes it off and is celebrating with Husky. But then she goes into a closet and he's there. And
maybe
he's like,
I think we're off about the timing of the military police thing.
I don't think so.
You're right. Yeah. He's being chased at that point. And then he's just, I guess, skulking around the venue of the fight. Because then we see there's an extended sequence of just boxing. Like, we just watch maybe 4 minutes of punching. And not choreographed like dance or with any musicality to it. It's just like straight up boxing footage, which is fine. It just becomes a sports movie. And then Joe is like hiding in a phone booth and sneaking up the, like, he's in the little vomitorium and looking out into the arena. And he sees.
Oh, yeah. He's always looking through weird windows and wall doors, like in places you wouldn't expect there to be a window. Yeah,
and then he sees Husky wins the fight.
There's some type of, like, celebratory parade type thing, because I remember this being a parade when Carmen dies in the opera.
Yeah, they lift Husky
it's
up.
It's more like we just hear the parade, but we're in this closet.
But Husky is, like, crowd surfing, and Carmen is, like, you know, holding his hand, and she's like, yay, you're so good. And then, you know, he's being carried away by the crowd, and everyone's coming out the vomitorium of the arena and just like walking down the venue halls. And then he grabs Carmen from the parade and pulls her into the closet. He sort of scoped out the closet, and you're like, what's this guy doing looking at this closet? And then you see, oh, he's found a place to pull Carmen into, and he confronts her. He's like,
and they have their final duet. And he's just like, you can't do this to me. I love you and I have to have you. And she's like, I've been so clear from the moment we met that I am not the type to be had and that I was going to ruin your life and leave you. So, like, fuck off. And then he's like, no, I will kill you if I can't have you. And then he just does. He just grabs her neck. And the janitor walks in while she's being strangled and just walks out. I'm like, dude, she's not
dead. Well, he's like,
yet.
I gotta get the military police, and he does.
So then she's dead, and then the military police come, and he's like, oh, what have I done? But he, not even in a way that's like remorseful that he killed the woman he loved. He's just like, oh, now I'm gonna go to jail for killing someone. Why would I do that? And yeah, that's the end.
Yeah, it's really just like about the moral decline
arrested.
Of this man. He went from being he's also like, oh, like, I don't drink, when she's trying to get him to, that also happens in the scene before they make out, is she's like offering him a drink and he's like, oh, I don't drink. Like, he's just such like a good little Christian boy, and then he goes crazy and he goes to jail for murder, and that's what this movie is about.
Yeah, it's really a wild story.
Right. And I assume, I'm not familiar with the opera, but I assume that's just what happens in the opera. And if I was familiar with the opera, I wouldn't have been like, what the heck? I just would have been like, classic.
Yeah, I knew he was going to kill her. But I was kind of remembering feeling more watching the opera, like, although I can't really remember if I, because I was feeling bad and I associated it with a parade. But I kind of feel like I was feeling bad that she was with the Husky Miller character. And I did not feel that way in the slightest watching this movie. I was just like, Joe is a pathetic little man, and I'm so happy for her for just moving on to this nice, cool prize fighter
with
money.
Felt there was a degree to which I felt badly for Joe, because he is, like, he would be... He wasn't, like, a horrible... I mean, he would say things like, oh, like, I don't want you going there. Like, I want to possess you. When he would be pushed to... Like, but she would kind of push him there. Like, she was deliberately sort of, like, egging him on and making him irritated so that he would say something bad. And then he would, like, regret... Like, he was a bad person. He would, like,
he
punch
would say
that man.
Sorry, but...
But then he would be regretful. Like, he had this sense of who he
little,
wanted to be.
Late.
And how he was failing to be that person. And it did just feel like this is not someone who is supporting your desire to be the best version of yourself. Like, you are responsible for the version of yourself that you are. But I also felt badly for him that he was, like, tangled up with Carmen, who had no interest in, like, helping him be his best self. And in fact, like, kind of relished in the ways that he was flawed and would, like... It brought her a little bit of joy to have him say the terrible thing or punch the guy. Like, she enjoyed... pushing him into his worst tendencies.
Yeah, I
so
don't know.
Which isn't to say that I felt like, oh, she deserved... I didn't think that she deserved what she got. I just felt like both these people, there's no... Like, I just feel badly for both of you that you're in each other's lives at all.
Yeah. When you say that, I'm like, yeah, that's definitely what happened. But while I was watching it, I was just like... I see nothing wrong with the way Carmen is behaving. Like, she's very upfront. And, like, it's not her fault that Joe can so easily become a maniac. Like, she's just living her life.
I agree fully. I also think, like, why would she... A man who is so... Not victim blaming her for getting choked to death, but there's something crazy to me about the choice too. If she wants to go to Chicago, why wait for him? Like, why do you want him to come to Chicago? Why do you want this extremely monogamous man who was going to get married to his girlfriend when you met him? Like, he's very intense in the kind of monogamous commitment he wants. How do you think that guy would handle being your side piece while you get a bunch of money from a boxer who's romantically interested in you? It just is like, it's a recipe for disaster.
Yes, it certainly is. My only defense is that she's crazy and she knows she's crazy.
Yes, they're both, it's just two people who I think are like crazy in these really... these ways that just feed off each other in a really negative way. And like, both of them I think could have lived happy and healthy lives if they had just not been in each other's lives at all. Like, every time they were interacting, I was like, for both of your sakes, I want you to walk away. Like, I don't think either of you has anything to gain here.
The thing that bothers me the most, I think, is that Joe is such a pure, nice guy at the start. Because it would be one thing if it was, like, toxic girl chases toxic man and then they get together and ruin each other's lives. But it's, like, you... Like, what is happening that this guy just decides, oh, I'm gonna have sex with this woman that I don't like, and then just become a completely different person and lose my mind? It's like, I don't believe you were ever really nice.
No,
and
I do feel
whole,
like...
And I mean, this is like, obviously what is flawed with Carmen and its legacy is that it's a story about a woman, a vixen ruining a man's life. But, like, you couldn't have been that nice to start off if you're going to end up murdering someone. But
yes, no, I do feel like the real winner of this story is Cindy
Husky
Lou.
Miller. Who... he got his money.
And he won his fight. but Cindy Lou dodged a bullet here. You know, she's sad at the end. But for sure, I'm glad that she's not married to that guy.
Yeah.
And she's young. She has time to find someone else. And, you know, maybe she'll just be more attuned to some red flags that she was overlooking with Joe.
But yeah.
Yes, it's not like a feel-good movie. Carmen Jones. I'm not rooting for anyone. It was not like a pleasant watch. And there wasn't like great dancing either. Like I kind of was. There wasn't
dancing.
And there was very little like camera movement.
Is
like
the thing with opera.
Yes, it lacked. It was shot in a very like static, serious way. The movement was all like within, like when people were dancing, it was because they were like, we're in a nightclub where we dance. There was never like,
mm-hmm. Oh, I guess there was dancing in Beat Out That Rhythm on a Drum. That's the only time I can really remember there being dancing.
And, you know, like Carmen is kind of dancing in the Parachute Factory, but it's not like there's just not like choreographed. It just lacked all of the charm of a musical to me. It just had the seriousness of an opera.
The real thing with why would you do this is that I couldn't really follow the lyrics. I couldn't have any opinion on them because opera is all about the music. It's like when I hear the melodies of Carmen, my mind just thinks, oh, time to not pay attention to the lyrics because it's an opera. So I don't know why a famous lyricist would think that this was a good idea.
Well, I'm sure there's something appealing if you're a lover of good music about setting lyrics to good music.
Yeah.
But yes,
and
no,
I
not,
also I think as I really think that the music of Carmen is good, but it's a terrible story. So
yes,
yeah,
and I think in general, like the tropes of like a musical theater story are just like oh, like these two people get together or whatever. Like they're just a lot more like sweet. I don't know. There's something about. Because I feel like both opera and musical theater can sometimes, like, you know, the tropes of it are not necessarily character-grounded. Like, more contemporary musical theater certainly has, like, really interesting characters and emotional moments. But I think that the general tropes of both those forms are not necessarily, like, really grounded emotional decision-making that you, like, understand the interior life of a character. But if I'm experiencing that, I want it to be sweet and, you know, glib and, mm-hmm. and just like sort of it just rolls over you as opposed to an opera where it's like take this really seriously, this guy is a completely different man now and we will not explain why.
We watched this because you wanted to watch a golden age movie musical and this had none of the like charm and lightheartedness of what you would expect from a golden age movie musical, so I apologize.
Well, that's okay. It's checked off the list. And Dorothy Dandridge, great in it. She probably should have won that Academy Award.
To be honest, I was going to say I thought that the performances were excellent. But when I think about it, the only thing I was really impressed with Harry Belafonte was the singing, and it wasn't him. So, but yeah,
he made some crazy faces when he was choking her.
He did make a crazy face when he was choking her. Yeah, he was fine.
But yeah.
And no, I think for what it was good. I thought it was a well-executed performance of Carmen.
It is interesting also because the other person that I thought was a standout was I thought that Cindy Lou was a beautiful singer, but I don't know if that was actually her singing either.
I think she was actually singing.
Oh, okay. Well, then she was great. And Pearl Bailey was great, too.
Yeah. I mean, the Wikipedia doesn't say her singing voice is dubbed by.
And Pearl Bailey sounded like Pearl Bailey. Yeah, so it must just be those two who were dubbed. That's so interesting.
And,
it's also interesting because they're both singers.
But it was, Rum Daniels, Husky's manager, was dubbed by the actor who played the commanding officer.
Wait.
And Rum Daniels' manager was dubbed as well. And Diane Carroll was dubbed.
Carroll was dubbed. That's funny. Yeah. I don't even remember her singing
Pearl
the word.
Bailey, well, she sang whatever that song about going on the train is.
Yeah, I guess she was singing some supporting vocals, but there wasn't like a beautiful little Diane Carroll solo. She's also a singer. It's just so interesting
Husky
that all
Miller
these people
is
are
dubbed.
Singers.
Literally only Pearl Bailey and Olga James were singing. And Brock Peters.
Well,
Frankie, Cindy Lou, and Sergeant Brown.
Well, Pearl and Olga are the other two standouts to me.
They
so
were
awesome.
The other standouts. I guess it's easier to act singing when you're singing to your own voice.
Yeah. So, worth watching for great performances, but not for story or staging. Or even music, really. like nice music, but not...
Just
this
watch
didn't elevate
figure
the music
skating
for
if
me.
You want to hear Carmen. Yeah, the lyrics don't add anything to the music.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing you're saying about, like, it is funny to try to be, when you were like, I can't remember the words to the stand up and fight one, you're like, yeah, I can't tell you at all what they're singing. I could just sing the melody of it to you. And it kind of captures the tone of it. Like, I feel like, oh, yeah, like, he was singing something sort of triumphant or whatever, but that's not coming from the words. It's coming from the music.
To me, that's the point of opera. Because you can get the gist of what's going on with it being in a different language.
Well, thanks for listening. I don't know, are we done?
Yeah,
do
I guess we're done.
Okay. Well, we'll see and we'll hear you. You'll hear us next time.
Yep. Probably Bye. Not next week because we'll be together.
Yeah. And then maybe after that, do you want to watch Wish?
Oh, sure. I'm confused because I've been hearing this song on TikTok of Chris Pine that everyone's hating on. Isn't that from Wish? But it hasn't come out yet. So how did everyone hear it?
It comes out on Thursday, right?
On Thanksgiving, yeah.
But they could have
released
a song.
Maybe they just released it.
Promotionally?
Yeah.
But I haven't seen that. I don't know what that is.
Well, everyone's really hating on the music.
So. I'm curious to hear. I don't know
it's
anything
Julia
about
Michaels
it, but it's
wrote
Julia
it,
Michaels,
which is
yeah.
so bizarre. Yeah,
I'm curious to hear it.
But because my expectations are low now. Because the song that Chris Pine is singing is really trying to like emulate Lin-Manuel Miranda. And everyone's
no.
like, why? Why are you doing this? Only Lin-Manuel Miranda can pull this off.
And also, I don't think that that's been great animated movie music. It's like not the... I was kind of excited that I was like, I could see some ways that pop music could like fit itself well to animation. But if that's not
it's
the kind of music
song,
they're writing.
So we'll see.
Yeah, maybe it's the worst song. Maybe it's like
and it's
playing
the, it's
Shiny
the
from the Moana
song,
soundtrack.
And everyone's like, oh, villain songs used to be great. And now they're shit. So maybe Ariana DeBose is gonna have a really great number.
Yeah, we'll
Chris Pine got the dregs.
You'll hear how we feel about it in a few weeks.
Yep.
All right. Bye.
All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Beat out that rhythm on a drum. Beat out that rhythm on a drum. beat of that rhythm on the drum, and I don't need no tune at all.
Beat me that rhythm on the drum, beat me that rhythm on the drum, beat me that rhythm on the drum, and I don't need no tune at all.
Beating in my bones, it feel like 20 million tom-toms. I know there's 20 million tom-toms beating way down deep inside my bones.